That is Hootie and the Blowfish on the mix on 90.7 WKGC to start things off on this Tuesday morning. And hold my hand. Don't look at me like that, Brandon.
I'm not holding your hand.
Good. It is 10 minutes
There's
after
just
9
not
o'clock.
Enough money for that.
No, I don't pay him enough.
Okay.
No, not at all. Well, happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
Good morning.
We're being observed again. I get very nervous with.
Why do I make you so nervous, Tom?
Well,
Tom has some issues.
I think maybe you might find out about some. I'm afraid about being led away in a backwards jacket.
We've tried.
I would let you see where you were going. I'd let you walk forward.
Okay.
Well, I think Tom would look good
on backwards. Then
Tom would look good in a straight jacket.
Well, there's only one way to find out, really.
Oh dear.
When you get a degree in psychology, do they give you a straight jacket as part of it?
It's
a party gift.
Yeah. I mean, you get one in every color, and you can like carry one around in your briefcase, so in case you see somebody, you can just slip it on.
That might come in handy, quite frankly.
You know, David Copperfield got out of one once.
So did Houdini.
Yes, he
very
did.
Famously, Houdini got out of one, but I think he...
But Houdini did not make the Statue of Liberty disappear.
Okay.
And David Copperfield did.
Mm. Did he, though?
I don't know. It's magic.
Did he?
I would have liked.
I watched it on TV.
See, now,
it had to be real.
Okay. Well, if you saw it on TV, or
did he
read
make
about
a 747
disappear
too?
I actually read about it on the internet, so it must be true.
It must absolutely be true. I definitely made Claudia Schiffer disappear. I believe
very well because I haven't heard that name in 15 years.
I think they're divorced now. That was
okay.
Sorry.
Oh dear, this place. Can we play some music? This
sure.
conversation seems to be sliding downhill. And it's
early
in the
We
show
have more
for
coming
that.
Your way, but let's get some Pointer Sisters. And I'm so excited. It's the mix on 90.7 WKGC, your local public radio station. And that's the Pointer Sisters, and I'm so excited. It's 9:15. We were just talking about the Saved by the Bell episode, the very serious episode. Jesse Spano taking those caffeine pills.
Good TV. I learned lots
so
of lessons
scared.
That day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Ah, Saved by the Bell. Those were the good days. We've got more music coming your way.
I was thinking Andy of Mayberry was the good days, but...
Well, I don't know that he ever OD'd on caffeine pills and started singing, "I'm so excited."
I mean, he gave Barney a bullet one time. That's, they did happen, but he lost it. He left it in his shirt pocket and they washed it.
Probably for the best.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a quick break. We have music from the Jay Giles Band on the other side on the mix on 90.7 WKGC. The mix on 90.7 WKGC with the Bananarama and Venus. I want to mention that our programming today on 90.7 WKGC is sponsored in part by a gift from Bill Cordell at Raymond James in Panama City. Bill is a certified financial planner and specializes in generating retirement income and IRA rollovers. More information online at CordellWealthManagement.com. That's all I got to say about that.
That's all you got to say about that, huh? Okay.
Yep.
I have a vinyl play today,
yes,
Scott.
Yes, you do. You want to get to it?
I do. I will. This song intrigued me from the day it came out, and I remember when it was new. It's by Carly Simon, and the song is called "You're So Vain." And there has been a continuing dialogue among some of us, at least of my age, who was this song written about? And she has never really officially said. The only thing that I can get out of the research I did early this morning was that I think it was in 2015 she admitted that it's not just about one person, and that the second verse was written about Warren Beatty. It has some interesting words in it, and one of which is gavotte. You had one eye in the mirror as you watch yourself gavotte. It's a French kissing
dance. Yeah.
Yes. It's a kissing dance. French are big on that. So anyway, it also got some stuff that actually did happen in it. You flew your Learjet up to Nova Scotia to see the total eclipse of the sun. Well, that happened twice, but it had to have been March 7th, 1970, because the next time it happened in Nova Scotia was 1972. The song had already been released. So it was in 1971. It has been covered by, everybody. There's a list of about 30 about 30 groups that have covered the song over the years. And so we still don't know. Howard Stern claims he knows, but she confided in him, and he knows the total story about "You're So Vain." But anyway, Here we
and
go.
And I would believe that about as much as I would believe if Brandon told me that he needed it and she confided in him. No offense, buddy. I'm just saying.
But,
it's Howard Stern.
Yeah, but he has an internet show, so it has to be true.
That's
I mean,
true.
There is that truth filter on the internet,
it's
so
satellite,
it has
actually.
To be.
It's satellite.
Yeah, can't you stream
I'm sure
that
you can stream it on
the
internet.
I think you can stream that on the internet.
With enough money, I'm sure you can.
So it has to be true.
Okay.
If it's on the internet, it's true. You know that. So anyway, here we go with Carly Simon and her rather mysterious song, You're So Vain.
It's our vinyl play of the day on the mix on 90.7 WKGC.
Scarf it was out.
Carly Simon there with our vinyl play of the day, and You're So Vain. There's a familiar voice in the background there, Tommy.
Yeah, we were just discussing that off air. There's actually the background vocals are an uncredited vocals by Mick Jagger.
The one and only.
The one and only. And
why are they uncredited?
Who also is not supposed to be in the running for one of the people the song's about.
Okay, well, that's
and
good.
Neither is James Taylor. He was married to her at the time that this song was written and performed.
Maybe he wrote one of the verses.
Wow. I wonder who he would have been talking about.
Well,
Bianca?
You never know.
You never know.
Maybe it was a secret.
I think it still is.
Maybe it goes back to a childhood thing. You know, sixth grade love crush thing. I don't know.
I don't remember.
Some people hold on to those things for a long time. I don't really know. We have a look at your weather forecast. News 13's Ross Whitley here in just a moment. And, of course, some more music. We're going to get one of... I know it's your favorite, too. Or you like her, anyway. Jewel?
I do love the Jewel, yes.
I like Jewel. And that's coming your way here on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. And that's Jewel with Who Will Save Your Soul on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. I remember buying, I was part of the BMG group, you
yes.
know, where you buy the CDs once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was one of them. I think that's one of the first ones I got.
And how are those CDs working out for you now?
I don't have the faintest idea. Okay. I got rid of a bunch of them mm-hmm. at some point because I don't listen to CDs anymore.
It's interesting. We at the studio, we rarely order CDs anymore. We still do whole projects. We euphemistically call them albums, but we really don't ever order any kind of media at all anymore. The client walks away with a thumb drive.
Well, and really, I think even the idea of the album comes from those old 78s where mm-hmm. they literally came. And
well, they did. There was one song on either side on a 78. A 10-inch 78 would have one song on it, and they were like a book. You could open them up. And
like a photo album.
Mm-hmm, like a photo album. Yeah.
Those were the days.
It's storytelling. It's a lost art. Seriously, what song starts off the album? What song ends the album?
Well, exactly.
These are important questions.
These are important questions.
And these, back when... we were working on vinyl, they were very important questions because, you know, as soon as CD started, we got to the point where we could actually program a CD player to play, you know, any songs you wanted off it. You didn't have to do the whole thing. But the heyday of vinyl, these things, the records told a story side by side.
Right.
So it was very important. Order was very important, how you did it. And also, as Scott would... No, it's how you produced it, how the songs sounded when they went together, when you were working on them, certainly after you had tracked them, you had to know what the order was so you knew how to put them together to make a cohesive package. Mm-hmm. It's all gone now.
Those were good days.
Gone. Spotify playlists can still do the same thing.
The Spotify playlist could do the same thing. And people are actually cutting some things, not with us yet, but there are people that are now cutting and releasing on vinyl again.
Mm. What was once old is now new.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. I don't have anything more to add to that.
Well, that was very profound.
Thank you. I'm speechless.
Very philosophical on Tuesday
it's
morning.
It's a little early for you to say that, my friend. You need some more, a little more
let's
coffee.
Let's not go polysyllabic this early in the morning,
whoa,
okay?
Whoa.
So we'll go back just a little bit, and we'll get a little Billy Joel here before our next break. It's still rock and roll to me. It's The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. That's Chumbawamba and a song that makes no sense to anyone. It's called Tub Thumping, and they pulled the Beatles trick at the end.
Yes, that
I think
was,
they played everything
very,
in back.
Very,
in
very
reverse.
Much a George Martin cut the tape up, splice it back together, and that's what you got.
Yeah,
it's a benefit for Mr. Kite knockoff, I think.
Yeah, we were just discussing how that makes
drives
no sense.
Me crazy.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yes.
We're 11 minutes in front of 10 o'clock, and it's Tuesday, so.
Woo.
I don't know what that means.
What does that mean?
Nothing for me in particular. I get a couple of classes
today.
You
know, we only get a couple Tuesdays a month to be on air because we, of course...
So this is special.
Aww. It's special, yes. This is a special Tuesday because next Tuesday we won't be on air. It'll be County Commission and it'll just be producer Brandon sitting up there.
He's got to go do a civic duty.
I have jury duty next Tuesday.
Wow! Can you imagine being considered to being locked up for a big chunk of time and you walk in and in the jury pool producer Brandon's there? I can't do that, huh?
I wouldn't want it.
Okay.
Sorry, buddy.
Sorry, buddy.
Have you ever served on a jury before?
No, this is my first time.
Oh, yeah. It's fun.
It really is fun.
It really is fun, and it's fun in a very serious way. I mean, you think you could be flippant. I mean, I'm a master at being flippant, but I was serious as a heart attack on a couple jury trials I did. I mean, seriously. The responsibility thunders down on you like crazy. And about the time you get instructions from the judge, you realize, oh, wow, this isn't a TV show. This is for real.
You know, it didn't quite, though, hold up to all of the John Grisham novels I'd read. A little different. A little less drama.
You clearly didn't serve on the jury I was on. Oh, okay. I had a chained inmate walk towards me, chased by a police guard.
Wow.
Sitting in the jury.
Really?
Yeah.
That is pretty wild.
It was a moment, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow, I didn't have that. But I did have the judge get pretty angry because there were some witnesses that were deciding to plead the fifth right there after they had already kind of decided what, you know, it was not good.
There's a lot of drama, even on these trials that only last a day or two. There's a lot of drama goes on in the courtroom. Yeah. There really is.
I was in court. It was Judge Overstreet, who's a very, very nice man.
He is.
Just kind of laid back and chill. Until you cross him, and then suddenly he's not.
Well, one of the things about judges is they with my wife having worked in the courthouse for years, I got to know a lot of the judges, and most of them are really nice people. But they also have that kind of reserve look that I'm not going to make him mad. That would be a bad idea.
Yeah.
So judges take their jobs and themselves very seriously. They have to because they affect people's lives in some cases permanently.
So Brandon, take the job seriously.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Don't go up there and be all student-y on them, okay?
Yeah, I enjoy getting escorted in and out of the courthouse with a cadre of police officers, mm-hmm. of sheriff's deputies. I kind of felt like
you will have reserved parking at the courthouse.
Yeah,
you know.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, there's a bunch of places where they on jury selection day where they bag the signs and it just says jury. So yeah,
I didn't know that.
And you'll go up in a selection room and you'll sit there and you'll watch a video,
very finely made video, very well done.
Well, it used to have no audio, and somebody at the courthouse gave me a copy of it, and I stripped the audio, ran it through Wave Lab, and put it back on the video again for them.
You're responsible for that.
I was responsible. Oh, okay. I did not do the video. That video needs to be re-upped. I hope they've done it, because that was like 10 years ago, and I hope they've redone it.
The last one I saw was pretty dated.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It was very dated when I worked on it.
Well, that'll be next week, and we'll find some sort of replacement, Tom.
No.
It's 9:53. We've got more music coming your way. We're going to round out this hour with some music from Heart, and this one, John, Don't Call Me Cougar, Melon to Camp. This is little Jack and Diane. You're listening to The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. Have a great day.